Welcome to the Life and Times podcast with your host, Lloyd Phillips. This is a podcast that's put on for the people, by the people, of the people. To be honest, I think I'm the only people. It's really just going to be me, probably, and occasionally maybe some other people, but... Welcome back to another show. This is Life and Times podcast. I'm your host, Lloyd Phillips. First time listener, thanks everybody who has came back every week. Thank you so much. Listen, we start off every show. with our sponsors. So here we go. Boxing Bear Print Company is an independent art studio established in 2011. It's out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a pretty awesome place. They have prints, they have originals, they have stickers, and I said it last episode, they just last week put out their Christmas, their Christmas special. So go to their website. It's boxingbear.com is where you can reach them, but it's Boxing Bear Print Company. Super awesome stuff, and I've ordered things there. Great people, check them out. Can't say enough about it. That's it. You know, I say it every week. Even when they're not sponsors, I'm still going to talk about them just because they're super awesome people. And our next sponsor is the Cookie Barn, and you can reach them at thecookiebarnwaco.com. And they're an online cookie company. They have a pickup location. They deliver locally around the Waco, Texas area, and they ship nationwide. So order for birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, showers, or any occasion, or just eat them yourself. That's what I like to do. They also specialize in company and client relations with discount pricing. So let your clients know that you're thinking about them and that you appreciate their business. Also, with every purchase, you'll be satisfied knowing that you're supporting an amazing nonprofit organization because a portion of all of their every sale, it goes and helps foster and adoptive families. So every penny's going to a good cause. Anyway, e1a.org is the organization. Encourage one another. Once again, it's e1a.org. That is the cookiebarnwaco.com. And if your first purchase, if you put your code in, sorry, I got stuttered there. If you put your code in, Life and Times Podcast, no spaces. Did I say no space? Yeah, no spaces. Life and Times Podcast, put it in, 20% off your first order. Anyway, so that's it. Let's get to the show here, people. I just want you to know, since this is close to Halloween time, there's a lot happening now for those of you that don't know, I got a couple of kids, and they're two girls, one's 7, one's 11, and 7-year-old's pretty cool. I think she's still too young for this, but look, here's the term that just keeps coming to my head. Hey, the struggle is real, people. The struggle is real. So since it's close to Halloween, there's this where I live, there's this forest of fear, and it's all the rave with sixth graders. It's all the sixth grader rave, and pretty much the community, but a lot of little kids go there. And you walk through this forest, and these high school kids put it on, and they wear masks and really ham it up. Actually, it's pretty good, really. But some of the drama that goes into it and how scared people get. It's funny to me because when you walk through as an adult, you don't, it's not the same for you. The struggle's not real for me, but it is for them. And so when you get the community there, then you get all these kids there also, and it's like all the drama and like, oh my gosh, did I hold his hand? Did I hold it? It reminds me of when I was in school and when you're in sixth grade. But back then for us, it was Bell's Amusement Park in Tulsa. So like when you would go there, because we didn't really, where I grew up, you really didn't have anything too exciting. I don't even recall. What do you call them? Spook houses? Is that what you call them? I don't recall those. And I don't recall Forest of Fear, nothing like that. And if they have it now, I don't know. They've done it since I've left. So we would like go to Bell's Amusement Park. This is the only time that the struggle was real for me at that age. And at Bell's, you know, all I really wanted to do was hold hands on the Phantasmagoria. You know, like, hey, I'm about to meet a girl here, you know, a Tulsa girl. We're a small town, right? So I'm going to Tulsa. I'm going to the city, and I'm going to hold hands with somebody. I guarantee there will be a lot of hand holding. Anyway, so they went through the Forest of Fear, and one of the people had a complete meltdown, like was really scared, scarred her for life, I guess. So today, once again, you hear this Monday morning, I'm doing it Sunday night. And so we went this evening with my daughter and her friend. Now, the girl that got super scared at the last one was this particular girl this evening's sister. Older sister, and she's like, you don't want to go. And so I told her, I was like, hey, look, you don't want to go, it's fine. As a matter of fact, I would prefer you not go, but my youngest daughter wanted to go, so I was going to take her. I took the older girls a couple nights ago. Well, so my daughter and the younger sister of the one that was terrified, she's staying the night, and they decided to go. So we went to Forest of Fear, and she's the one that actually made me think to myself, the struggle is real, because when people would come out of the, when they would come out of the woods, you know, whatever mask they had or whatever fake blood or gore or fake weapon they had. I mean, these were real terrifying screams, like for real terrifying. I can't even, I was going to try to scream. I can't scream much. I don't know how to do that. But, you know, like the, I can't even do it because I'm too old. You know, like the little girl scream, the kind of screams as a dad that when they do it in your house and nothing's wrong, the kind of scream where you're like, stop, stop, stop screaming like that. You know, like that one, that's what she was doing. But like repeatedly, she's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. And just scream like crazy. Like I think possibly she may possibly have to go to a home after this deal, just for like mental counseling. And I'm like, stop. So I'm like walking behind her. I'm like, you're fine. You're fine. They're high school kids. It's fake. We can go home right after this, and we'll put on makeup and stare at each other. That's what they look like. You're fine. You're with me. I mean, just all out meltdown. You know, I thought for sure. Once again, I think she's going to have to go to a home after this deal, just to get some mental counseling, a real meltdown. But, you know, but we've moved on, even though I'm saying this right now because of the reaction I saw this evening. Yeah, it's a total dance party downstairs right now. Absolute dance party. The music's loud. It's on fall break. I don't, you know, they don't have to go to school today, you know, Monday. And so I just think they've moved on this evening because of the dance party. But, you know, if I could just go find a scary movie where the scary movie started with a house party or a dance party, I would put them right back in the state of shock they were in for this Forest of Fear. once again, the struggle is real. And speaking also of the struggle is real, this happened the other day where my wife, she said, I don't go to the grocery store. I'm not the grocery store guy. I'm not saying that I've never went. I'm not saying that I'm not capable of doing it. But just historically in my life, I'm not the one that goes. My wife always goes to the grocery store. And do you know what happens when you go to the grocery store often? Do you know what happens when you go to the grocery store often? You know where everything's at. That's what you do. You know where it's at. So when you go to the grocery store and buy, you know, whatever we have for a week or two, I think we shop a week at a time, but you go buy for the week, you're back in like 35 minutes. But then when you send me to the grocery store, she's like, oh yeah, I'm just tired. You go to the grocery store. Do you know how long it takes me to go to the grocery store? Because I don't go. And we not, you know, it's just a balance thing. This is what we've done. We've lived our life this way, being my wife. I do other things. She goes to the grocery store. She knows it like the back of her hand. It literally takes me, I don't know, something that takes her 45 minutes, 35 minutes, for real, maybe 2.5 hours. That's how long it takes me. And I'm just walking up and down the aisle. Look, man, I don't know where, I don't know where the chili seasoning's at. Can't find it. Don't know where it's at. Something says spice. This row says spices. This row says chili. This row says, I don't know where it's at. And then I ask somebody, but I always try to be the nice guy where I'm like, hey, look, because I usually at Walmart or places like that, if you ask somebody that works there where the products are, they're supposed to walk you there. Well, they're busy. They don't do that. And I don't want them to do that. But so I say, hey, where's the chili seasoning? Like, you know, I have to go ask. And then, you know, then that drags out 5 minutes while they go ask. And it's like, then it turns out when I find the chili seasoning, I had already passed it 42 times. I've been down the same aisle. I just didn't see it. I don't even know how they lay out grocery stores. Like I think maybe it's probably pretty well laid out, but like some things I think go together and other, it takes me 3 hours is what I'm getting at. You know, here's my term for the show. So the struggle is real for me at the grocery store. But I said all that to get to this. On the list, when I'm going to the grocery store, she says, she wrote out, she's like, get chocolate. That's all, it said chocolate. The whole list, some things are specific, some things aren't. You know, eggs, milk, shredded cheese, yogurt, you know, whatever, throw an item out. And that's what's on the paper. And then it says chocolate. So if that's what it said, what would you think that it meant? I would think that it meant chocolate. So I went to the candy aisle and, I got, I don't know, like 30 Hershey bars. It might sound excessive, but I don't know what she's going to do with it. I have no idea. You know, maybe she wants to lead the block. Well, you probably can't do this with only 30 candy bars, but I would say maybe you want to lead the block and give out full-size candy bars to kids. Maybe that's the thing you're doing, like you're Bill Burr. I don't know. So anyway, I got these 30 chocolate bars, and then later that night, not when we unpacked the groceries, but later that evening, she said, why did you get 30 Hershey bars? And I'm like, because you wrote chocolate on the list? I mean, that's what you wrote. I just thought maybe that's what you were doing. You needed chocolate, so I got it. So she's like, no, I wrote chocolate. It's the chocolate that you put in the milk to make chocolate milk, like the Hershey syrup. Now, listen, if you wanted Hershey syrup, you probably should have wrote Hershey's syrup is what that would be the most logical thing that I would think that you would do. I would think that if you want Hershey syrup, you write Hershey syrup. If you want chocolate, you get chocolate bars. That's what I did for you. As a matter of fact, I even got Hershey's. It just was in solid form. I got solid form Hershey's. And she laughs and she's like, how do you not know? How did you not know that? You know Bella drinks chocolate milk. And I'm like, yeah, I do. But I would have thought that you would have written Hershey syrup on the paper. Didn't happen. So there you go. You know what would be better next time? Is if that we assume the roles that we had originally, without an agreement, a written agreement, it was just assumed that she goes to the grocery store because she knows where everything's at. We should just stick to that unwritten agreement, and then you do it, and then you come back in like, 40 minutes. And then if you miss anything, send me after one item. I can usually knock that out. And then the whole process is an hour and 15, we're done, as opposed to me being in the grocery store for 2.5 hours. Now, I don't need a bunch of extra side lip. You're like, well, you can help out too. I'm not saying I can't help out. I'm just saying, look, I beat it to death. You get what I'm telling you. So I don't know if you guys have to deal with that same thing. The struggle is real, people. Just so you know. You know, here's some excitement that happened. I don't know if this is a life lesson. I don't even know if this is funny. I don't know, but it happened. It happened, I don't know, 2 or 3 days ago. I was about to pull into an ATM. And I'm in the right-hand lane. I'm not on the highway, but let's picture. I'm not on the roadway, but let's picture a road. I'm in the right-hand lane. The left-hand lane, you can drive all day long because I'm in the right-hand lane. But I'm waiting to cross the left-hand lane to pull into the ATM. I'm in a parking lot, but I'm just giving you, I'm trying to give you a mental picture. So I'm in my lane, and there's a guy who's in a drive-thru in my lane, but the way the concrete is cut, you have to turn your wheels as you pull out of the drive-thru to get back into the right-hand lane. I don't even know if I should be telling you this because it's very confusing. Let me summarize the dumbest thing. Like right now, you're like, I don't know what you're saying. You know what? And the more I was talking, I don't know what I'm saying either. I'm trying to pull into the ATM. There's a guy who thought I was in his way. And as he pulls out, he pulls up to my window. Now, the guy's about 75 years old. And so I roll my window down. I did watch him. He accidentally drove over the concrete, but that's his fault. If he cut your wheels a little harder to the right, you would have missed the concrete. That's not my fault. I can't teach you to drive. So he rolls down the window, but he's 75, right? So I just sounded frustrated, but because he's 75, I don't show, I don't make a mean face. Roll my window down, and he's like, you think you could block the whole road? And I'm like, I apologize. Like I didn't mean anything negative. I wasn't trying to get in your way. I'm sorry. He's like, and he like, and then he started to pull forward. I'm like, hey, hold up. Now see right there. Cause I said, hold up, sir. Hold up. Cause I was still, you know, what happens, what goes through in your mind. Like when you're still working this out, when you're processing, how do I really want to react? So I was like, hold up, sir. I made a decision right then, split second. I made a decision. I'm like, this guy's 75 years old. I'm not even going to say anything. And I was like, sir, I just, once again, I apologize. I'm so sorry. And he drove off. And then, As I'm about to pull in, because where I'm at, somebody pulls in front of me. He cuts me off in the ATM. I mean, but I was proud of my forgiveness of the guy who commented to me for no reason. So I was on the forgiveness train. That's where I'm going with this. So I forgave the guy in front of me. But I think I got punked two times in under a minute. And I'm just working on patience. But I think I have it. You know, force to fear, once again, when they're screaming, literally thinking that they're going to take them. You know, the patients came out there also. You know, it was a nice guy. I was like, oh, you can do it. Actually, I didn't really say that. I kind of got a little carried away. when the screaming got so intense, I'm like, stop, 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 stop. You're fine. Stop it. Yeah. Is that patience? Like, is that patience? Forgiveness and patience, those are different. Yeah, so I'm good at forgiveness this week. Horrible at patience. Maybe that's what I was trying to reference there. So I did have some pretty good feedback. With the grandpa interview. So if you didn't hear it, I know I talked about it last week, but there's a bonus episode that I did with my grandpa. Finally put it out. I would assume a lot of you heard it, but it's 2 hours long. And if you don't know my grandpa, maybe it's a little less exciting for you. But for people that knew him, the feedback was great. And I thought it, Did I just kick the camera? Sorry. Feedback was great. And so, like, I appreciate everybody out there that, like, it's weird because people who were not related to are like, I love your grandpa. Your grandpa's the greatest guy. I love your grandpa. It's just so many people said those things that I think that was cool. So I'm just letting you know, if I didn't explain, because that was just a bonus episode. This is the actual podcast. I'm sure it has different listeners. I did that, but I finally put it out. I did it a couple weeks ago, finally put it out. And once again, thank you to everybody who commented. I mean, it's an odd thing to put in the middle of my podcast, but it just hit me that I did it. But after you do that, other people are like, hey, will you do my relative? Like, what? look, I can do that. It's fine. Like, yeah, I can do that to your relative if you want me to. I mean, because some of them I know, but some of them I don't know. But I can't believe how many people are like, hey, can you interview my grandpa? Can you interview my dad? And the coolest part about that is this. I know it's a comedy podcast, or I attempt at humor anyway. But when you do stuff like that, I'll get serious for a second. You know, you're preserving all this memory, all these memories. I don't think it really matters what the person has done in their life. You know, like, there's a lot of people that interview celebrities, and that's great. But you could almost get all their stories after the first, either if you've watched one interview or two of them, or you can just get online and Google their history and all that. But there's a lot of people that have done things that you may not know who they are, but they've had very interesting lives, and they've done so many things that are cool, and they can tell you stories that are fascinating, and they're just regular people. So it's not like you have to be a star to bring some kind of light to people. Switching gears, the 100-mile challenge that I have engaged in, I did do, I did 2.9 miles, skipped some days, and I went out to the track, local track where I'm at, and I walked 5 miles, and my intent was to walk 10 miles, but I started getting this blister that's on listen, don't judge me. Some of you guys run. It's fine. I don't run. I don't even walk fast anymore. Like, I just don't. But I got to do this 100-mile challenge before the end of the year. So I went out and I walked 5 miles, and I got this blister that was forming. But for those of you that have ever done any distance, 5 miles, not real distance. I get it. I don't need a bunch of judges like, I run 12 miles a day. I don't care that you run 12 miles a day. Well, I mean, good for you. But I don't care that if you run 12 miles a day, I don't run 12 miles a day. So this 5 miles I'm doing, you know, the struggle's real here. The struggle is real. So when I'm doing these 5 miles, the blister creeps up on my foot. And it's like one of those blisters that's like really deep down in the, it's not like, I cannot see the bubble on the bottom of my foot. It's in it. Like it's deep in my foot. And I knew that if I continued to do the next 5 miles, that it would spread, then it would go to the bottom of my foot, and then it would be the entire like pad of my foot. And then that would hurt. And then that would take a while, and I'd limp around for 4 or 5 days. So I shut it down. And I'm right now at 92. I have 92 miles remaining in the 100-mile challenge. I think you're supposed to do a mile a day, but to be honest, I don't even remember when I started. All I know is I'm running out of time, and I got to do 92 miles before now in December. Now, I just saw this Facebook, and there's this lady, I don't know if I could, she's roughly my age. I was going to say this girl, but you know, I guess we're older now. But I just saw her on Facebook. She's doing some kind of challenge where she's running across the United States or some kind of 100-mile challenge, but she's like doing it every day, I think. Look, I don't remember the thing. Point is, here I am telling you I walked 5 miles, and then I throw out a term like the struggle's real. And then I get this lady who I know, who's running. This is all I saw today. I saw a video. where she's running, holding, I guess, a selfie stick, and she's talking to somebody while she's running. She's like, what mile are we on? And they're like, 41. Yeah, well, listen, daddy's not on 41 miles. Daddy did 5, and there's a blister on daddy's foot. And I'm going to take a couple days off. I'm going to take a couple of days off, and you know, to get back right, get this health. I'm going to get this health thing back right, this health foot. And oh, that's it. Oh, daddy will be cruising 12 miles. Daddy will be cruising. Sorry if you heard that in the middle of this. Daddy will be cruising 12 miles this week, and I'm going to do it. The only problem is, I think it's cold now. The cold front moved in today. It dropped 20 degrees from mid-afternoon to right now and in the morning from today. I don't know, maybe 35 degrees cooler. So it's officially here. Maybe it hits like 39 in the morning. So it's getting there, you know, where I'm from. I know other parts of the country, it's already snowed and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I live in Oklahoma. So I'm going to do the challenge in the wind, in the rain, in the wintry mix. I guess the wintry mix is about to kick in, and I'm going to do it in that. But here's the thing that I've learned in my life. If the day is perfect and you go do something like a jog or a walk and you come home, you might feel good that you did it, right? You may feel good that you did it. But if you ever do anything in extremes, temperatures, super hot, super cold, rained a lot. Now, super windy, I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. That's just really annoying. But if it's raining on you, if it's snowing on you, and you're doing physical activity, whether it's super hot or super cold, you mentally feel, or I do. And I think that you would also if you did it. But you mentally feel like you did something. Like you feel like you did it. You feel like you did something great. I actually like the thought of going on a weekend. Now, I shut it down because I just started so I got to acclimate. But I really want to go do like a weekend where I go, I don't know, 30 miles. You know, and if I did 30 miles in the cold, then when I get back, I really feel like I accomplished something. I don't know if other people are that way as far as pushing yourself in the elements, like making yourself really uncomfortable. Like you feel like you accomplished something. You know, another example of that. I go on a motorcycle trip with my friend, and we went every year. It's various people, you know, sometimes a few friends, sometimes it's just me and my friend. So we drive from Oklahoma to California or from Oklahoma to Oregon. We hit Highway 1 both times, right, on the coast. So we'll drive from here to Oregon the last time. Then we take Highway 1. But what we do is we go, I said do, sorry, is we drive through the desert. We plan this to drive through the desert at 2 p.m., 1 p.m., 1 to 2, the hottest part of the day. We literally rode our bikes through Death Valley in the hottest part of the day. And to be honest, when you're riding, I'm almost about to pass out all the time like it's hot. This is actually what we do. Now, we don't just completely tough it out because I think I would die. But what happens is we drive in like every 40 miles. We get out, we carry quarters across California. You got to pay for the water out there. So we carry quarters, we put them in the water machine. We take the water, we dump it on our heads, like whole body soak, full body. Just take this little hose and literally am drenched. It literally looks like I jumped in the lake and got out and got him a motorcycle. That's what we do. And when we do, then it's like an air conditioner, you know, for 4 minutes. And then you dry out, and then you got another, you know, 45 minutes to go to the next location. I said every 40 miles. It depends on how far they're stretched out. Well, it's so hot that when the day's done, and the sun's coming down, and you feel the temperature start to drop, and you pull up into whatever location we're staying, what you feel like you accomplished that day is like you can't put it into words. Like you literally can't put it into words, because at the end of the day, when you take your stuff off and you go take a shower and you just sit out in your chairs and you're under the stars, depends whether you're at a hotel or just camping under the stars. If you push yourself in that manner, it also puts you in a different mental state, a different mental game. And so it's a great feeling once you're done. And so I got really long-winded, I think, to talk about that, but I was talking about the 100-mile challenge. So I think you should do things to push yourself. So even though it's cold, I guess to reference back, so even though it's cold, I think I want to do like 30 miles in one day because, to be honest, I don't know if I've ever actually run or walked. I don't think I've done 30 miles in a day. When you push yourself, And then you achieve what you push yourself through the uncomfortable part, and then you get to where it is mentally. When you get to the other side, you feel powerful. And now I'm just talking about riding through the desert, but really that has to do with everything that you do in life. You know, really. And it just puts you in a higher state of consciousness, I guess. You know, you feel like you can achieve anything. You feel like you can accomplish anything. So you should always get outside of your comfort zone. So whether I've made this whole thing a physical thing, but it's also a mental thing. And if you get outside of your comfort zone and then you excel outside of that zone, you've just recreated a new zone for yourself. And it makes you feel good. Now, once again, sorry, because it's a comedy podcast. I got a little motivational speakerish for a second. Did I just make that word up? I think I did. It's an odd thing to end on. I'm not a motivational speaker. So sorry for getting all deep, but, you know, go be uncomfortable every day. Yeah, look what I just did. Go be uncomfortable every day. Because every day that you make yourself uncomfortable in certain situation, you've just grown outside of what your wall used to be. You've expanded your wall of uncomfortability. And if you do it enough, really there's nothing that you can't accomplish. And you know, that's the thing. Once again, I sorry for the motivational talk, but I'm not sorry for saying it. I just, you know, when you tune into a comedy show, but I got really long-winded about that. So thanks for listening. And if you turn it off, well, I get it, because I got a little carried away. Put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. I just want you to know, love everybody. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you've listened to this at this point, you should have already hit the subscribe button. Started a YouTube page, go to YouTube, hit subscribe on that. I don't look, if you watch the content, great. If you're on YouTube all the time, awesome. Just hit subscribe. I don't care if you watch it or not. I really do, actually, but hit the button, people. Love everybody. We'll see you.